so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Easter service, we started a series that I didn't know was going to be a series at the time, entitled Unstoppable. How many knows that we serve an unstoppable God? Amen. Well, I want you to go with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and we're going to go to chapter 4, and just want you to leave your Bible open to chapter 4, and something amazing is going to happen. By osmosis, it's just going to be absorbed in your spirit. No, it's not. It's just kidding. You got to read it in order for it to be absorbed. But I do want to stay there for just a little while and preach a little while today on unstoppable faith. Unstoppable faith. I'm excited about our app. Matter of fact, on that app, you'll be able to give online or give by text to give. It's going to be very cool. Set that up one time and you're ready to go. So we got a lot of good things coming for there. So in verse number 1, if you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, it says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Man, you might want to underline that. We do not lose heart. Now, let me just talk to you for a moment. I'm going to preach a little bit, verse by verse, a little bit today. But I want to talk to you again about unstoppable faith. Let me ask you the question. What is it, what would cause you to be stopped in your tracks? Have you ever known people who have given up on God and gave up on church? Well, if you've been looking for a while, or if you've been living a while, if you've been serving God a while, every one of us knows people who they were doing good in God, and then something happened. You did run well. Who did hinder you? Something happened, and we could blame it on different things, but what would it take to stop you in your tracks? Because we've known people who've given up on God and given up on church. And I know that there are some right now saying, Pastor, those are two different things. Giving up on church doesn't mean that you give up on God. I'm a firm believer that if God is your father, the church ought to be your mother. I'm a firm believer that if you're going to be a Christian, that is, a Christian is not an island unto themselves, that you need to be with people. And that sometimes means some people that has EGR people, extra grace required people, and I promise you that you can find them in church. Good preaching already. Have you ever known people who gave up on their marriage? Have you known people who gave up on their dreams? They gave up on their children because they got frustrated. You might be a school teacher and are struggling with whether or not your efforts are even making a difference, or if the students even care at all, or if your job will be replaced at the next year's budget cuts. You are tempted to quit, trying to do the minimum effort. How many of us are on the job and we don't like what's going on, so we do just enough not to get fired? You've quit in your mind, but the only thing that hasn't quit was you and or your paycheck. Maybe you've been burned by a relationship, so you've given up allowing anybody to get close to you or anybody to come into your sphere of influence. You don't want to get burned again. You won't let them get close. Maybe you have children who have gone off the deep end. They turned 14 and all of a sudden some alien came down and snatched them out of your house, because the person living in your house at the age of 14 is certainly not your child. You thought about killing them and telling God they died and making another one just like them, but somehow you didn't. You just feel frustrated. You're going through the motions, and the only your heart isn't in it anymore. You just have quit. You've given up. Well, we're going to learn about somebody, because if you've ever felt like quitting or facing obstacles that seem like are insurmountable, I've got good news for you, because you're in the right place today. Because everybody at this in this place, more than likely, if you've lived long enough, have been faced with an opportunity or an event or a journey that you've thought about quitting on, that you thought about giving up on. That's what the enemy wants you to do, because I promise you, you will never win if you quit. But here's the good thing, that if you won't quit, you cannot be beat. My God, somebody hear me. Because God is greater, and His all-surpassing power is available to stand strong and not to lose heart. As our first verse said, do not lose heart. The devil, your enemy, your dream is counting on you to lose heart. But I've come by to tell you today that God is unstoppable. You are in God, so therefore you are unstoppable. You just cannot quit. You just cannot give up. You've got to recognize that no matter what is the obstacles are, whether it be an outward circumstance that stand in our way, God is greater than whatever it is that is standing in your way. And I want to look at a man today that who had every reason to quit on God and quit on what God had called him to do, to take the easy route, but he didn't give in. He didn't give in, and Christians around the world are better off today because he didn't give up and he didn't give in. He didn't quit. He decided that if God was able to do all that he had done, that he's able to complete what he started in him. Can I tell you that you may be facing some insurmountable times and obstacles in your life, but if the God of this Bible is true, and he is, then he is more able, he is well able to do it exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. You just can't quit. You just got to decide, I'm unstoppable and I cannot be beat. I cannot give up. I will not give in. I'm going to fulfill what God has placed in my heart. Jesus himself faced persecution. He faced beatings. He faced the crucifixion on the cross and all that he did not deserve. You see, but let me tell you something, church. This world is a war zone if you haven't noticed it yet. And we shouldn't be surprised when life gets hard. You ever notice people get surprised when life's hard? Oh, it's hard. You know, there's a new commercial on Progressive too. And there's a girl on the bike and she's barely moving, and she's talking about she's crushing her quad workout. That's the way I feel. I wish one push-up could do the job, right? I wish one thing of broccoli could do the job. But it's not the case. Sometimes life is hard, but can I tell you that it doesn't stay hard? But the tougher you get, the easier life is. Come on, somebody. The tougher you get, the more that you declare that, hey, this is just part of life, and I'm gonna hit this obstacle and I'm gonna overcome it. I'm gonna step over it. I'm gonna lift it up. I'm gonna dig around it. Whatever I need to do, it's just part of life, because this is life, right? Yeah. Amen. So anything worth having is worth fighting for. We shouldn't be surprised when it gets hard, because the roaring lion, the Bible said, is going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And there's a lion loose, and there are mangled bodies all around us. But I refuse to be a victim, because I'm the victor. God said, Jesus said, that it is he that causes me to triumph in every situation. Let me give you this. We're living in a battleground, and battle fatigue is real. We're living in a battleground, and battle fatigue is real. You get tired of fighting. You get tired of trying, and the devil is depending. He is counting on you growing weary. But the Bible says, don't grow weary in your well-doing, for in due season you shall reap a harvest if you faint not. If you don't give up, you will reap a harvest. But see, listen, church, you need to recognize that we're not victims, but we're victors in this battle, because Jesus won the ultimate victory on the cross that we celebrated 2 weeks ago, that he won the ultimate victory, so therefore you and I are victorious. Are we surprised? Are we surprised to know that there's a real enemy out there? Wow. Well, I thought when I come to serve Jesus that the devil would leave me alone. No, he's your enemy. That means that he shoots and you shoot back. The problem with so many of us is we want a massacre. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, we don't want to fight. We just want to show up and not never have any trouble. No, a fight is you get hit sometimes, but you keep getting back up, somebody say. See, we're going to walk through 2 Corinthians here in just a few moments. And as we take on the scenes, I want you to look at a Christian by the name of Paul, if you don't know who he is, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, who faced all kinds of opposition and still remained unstoppable. Paul had people who were saying that he was teaching, that his teachings was weak, that his teachings was fading. They accused him of being dishonest. They accused him of corrupting the word of God. And people were hurtful and unappreciative and even accusatory of his lack of integrity. But they beat him. That wasn't enough. So they beat him with sticks. They threw rocks at him. They left him for dead. They beat him with the whip and left him for dead. Who could blame Paul if he decided that I'm going to give up, that I'm going to give in? If this isn't for me, this career track is not the career that I chose. What made Paul unstoppable? There was a few things. Point number one is this: an unstoppable determination. That he had unstoppable determination. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. So you need to get an unstoppable determination. An unstoppable determination means that I know things are going to come at me. I know things are going to try to stop me, but they cannot because of whose I am. I will not lose heart. Why? Because I've got God's mercy. I've got God's favor. God's mercy is unmerited favor. See, Paul saw himself with unmerited favor, that God is on my side, and if I will not quit, then I just cannot lose. I may fail 10, 11, 12, 15 times, 300 times. But bless God, if I won't give up, Jesus won't give up on me. If I won't give up, then I'm going to continue to do what God's called me to do. And I may fall, but the righteous man falleth 7 times, but he gets back up. Can you say amen? Paul saw himself with unmerited favor, but he saw himself as undeserving. He is saying, I am unworthy to do what God has called me to do. And when a person begins to think that they deserve a position, that they deserve a status, that they deserve a ministry, that will lead to conflict and the temptation to say, I quit. But when you recognize that everything that you have, you didn't deserve, when you begin to recognize that I'm saved not because I deserve it, but because of the mercy of God, which is unmerited favor, when I recognize that, I quit. Because, you see, you can't say I quit because I deserve to be treated better than this. That's why people quit. I quit. This is too hard. I deserve to be treated better than this. I quit because I'm unappreciated. I quit because I'm not getting enough credit that I deserve, or I'm not getting enough pay that I deserve. When you recognize that everything that I have and everything that I am and everything that I'm trying to do is because of Jesus' mercy, his grace, then you begin to realize I don't have an I quit in me. Paul is saying, I know that I deserve nothing, Boy, isn't that contrary to what the world teaches? The world teaches that you're entitled. The world teaches that you deserve things when you didn't work for them. Come on, somebody. But God is saying that you get something, and that's mercy. It's not entitlement. It's not an entitlement. It is mercy. Why does he feel this way in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13? He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Can I tell you that you used to be just like that? Somebody hear me. You used to act maybe not exactly the way Paul did, but everybody in this building, we have a BC, we have a before Christ, and we acted that way, but God has shown us mercy, so we're going to be like Paul, and we do not lose heart. We are unstoppable. We have an unstoppable determination. We don't quit because we know that we don't deserve the part that God has already given us. It's the opposite of entitlement, that things that the world owes us something. See, I cannot help but serve God. I cannot help but love God. I cannot help but do whatever he wants me to do, including going through troubles and trials, including going through people that I'll criticize and oppose and attack and don't understand. Why? Because I recognize that I don't deserve it. See, Paul was humble. Had an unstoppable heart. This allowed him to continue to preach and to carry the word and carry out his assignment, even in the face of insurmountable and brutal opposition. God gave him his ministry. That's what you need to realize. God gave you whatever you have. And if God gave it to you, no matter what, no matter how sinful people are that respond, you got to do what's called of you. You've got to have an unstoppable determination. So unstoppable faith means that I have an unstoppable determination so that I don't lose heart. Then we must go to verse number 2. Verse number 2 says, rather we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Paul performed the job God's way. See, number 2 is this. You got to have unstoppable integrity. You need unstoppable determination, but now you need unstoppable integrity. Integrity. His job was to deliver God's word accurately, clearly, and people didn't like it. I had somebody show up in my office the other day, Thursday, and they were checking out our church, and they had a question for me. They said, Pastor, I got 2 questions for you. Do you believe the whole Bible? I thought, well, first of all, let me make sure he's not here this morning. He's supposed to be in the 11 o'clock service. First of all, I thought that was a stupid question. Well, I'm the pastor. I probably ought to believe the whole word. But how many knows that that's sad that you got to ask the question? Do you believe the whole word? No, I just like, how many want to believe the whole word? I don't want to believe all of it. I mean, I get tired of believing. I got to be nice. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all are like, and you call that nice? And let me move on. His unstoppable integrity meant that his work ethic, that's a thing, that he had a work ethic. That means he didn't do things halfway, didn't get in the middle of them and stop. He had a work ethic, included no deceit. Paul refused to use any underhanded or deceitful tricks to gain followers. See, listen to me. He asked me, he said, do you believe the word? This guy did. He said, do you believe the whole Bible? I said, yes, I do. He said, do you preach the whole Bible? I said, I try my best. And what do you mean by that? Sometimes I say things that some of you do not like, but I cannot help it because it is not me. It is the word of God. And if you're going to be unstoppable, you've got to have unstoppable integrity. And we don't try to trick anybody, but we tell you, or I try to tell you, and our staff tries to preach from this pulpit, the truth of God's word. If you're headed to sin, or if you're headed to hell, it is not I that judge you. It is the word of God that judges you. And I'm going to declare what the word of God says, because I don't want you to get to the judgment seat of God and begin to look around for Ronnie Reed and say, where is he? He didn't tell me that what I was doing was wrong. I can't get no help, but I'm going to preach anyway. You see, there was false teachers in that day who would do anything to get a following. Paul wasn't one to tickle people's ears to make a name for himself. He had an honest ministry where he preached the pure word of God that changed lives. He said, in the sight of God means that his ultimate audience was God. Can I tell you that I give an account, and I take it very serious when I stand behind this pulpit, I give an account for what I preach. Because, yeah, you know, I'm going to have to give an account to God. Have you ever worked for a deceitful person who wants you to deceive a customer? Well, why are you surprised when that boss, the same boss that tried to get you to cheat a customer, tries to cheat you out of your wage? Because it goes back to integrity. There were false teachers in that time. And they would lie and deceive and say what people wanted to hear just to get a following. Sounds like today, don't it? See, I just believe that honesty is still the best policy. So Paul refused to trick or deceive anybody. And secondly, he was committed to a no confusion. He said, setting forth the truth plainly. Paul represented God's truth with clarity. See, he taught young Timothy to do the same thing in 2 Timothy 2:15. Paul cut God's word straight and trusted that God would remove the veil of unbelief. God, our job is to clearly communicate God's word. It is God's job to remove the blinders and change the heart. Amen? There are two reasons why the good news, or God's good news, is misunderstood. There's two reasons. Number one is this. Number one is confused students. What do you mean, Pastor? Have you ever heard students quote a teacher that it was all wrong because they were confused? You know, there are people right now who don't follow this ministry or this other one, whatever, because of what their students say instead of what they said. I mean, listen. I've been misquoted so many times that I can't even count them. And they would say, well, you said. I said, ain't what I said. Let's go back and look at the tape. Let's go back and listen to it. So confused students, some people don't understand spiritual truths because they are spiritually blind. So we've got, number one is confusing teachers. Number two is confused students. Confusing teachers who don't preach the truth, who don't tell the truth, who just want a following. You know, I've had people tell us about our church. You know, our church is one of the largest in Citrus County. And one of them tell us, well, it's probably because you don't preach the truth, and they've never heard me preach. And then I've had several people say this, well, you probably don't preach on sin. I said, man, you cannot sit in our church and me not preach on sin. Because sin is what I know the most about. Come on, somebody, because I was a sinner being saved by grace, right? Man, I know about it. See, you got to understand, it's a spiritual issue. Paul was once spiritually blind, thinking that he was serving God when he was actually persecuting the very people that were trying to serve God. But bless God, he got into the lights and was dazzled on the road of Damascus, and the scales were taken off of his eyes, and he was seen. I pray, God, take the scales off of our eyes today so that we might see, because we don't want to live a lie. We don't want to live a damned gospel, but a gospel that brings life, a gospel that reaches in and maybe has to pull out, tear out sin, but still gives and brings life. Can you say amen? Oh, Number three is this. I got to hurry now. Is unstoppable. Humility. Paul is unstoppable because he has unstoppable determination. He had unstoppable integrity, and now we see unstoppable humility in verses number 5 and 7. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants of Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made the light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. If Paul was full of himself and pride, looking to build a following for himself, then he would have preached about himself instead of Christ. Have you ever got around, people who all they talk about is how great they are? Have you ever got, I hope it hadn't been at this church, but I've been in churches where the every service, every sermon was about how great the preacher was. Man, I can tell you right now that there is no good in Ronnie Reed save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That if you see anything good in Ronnie Reed, it's because Jesus has died for my sin and gave to me the gift of eternal life. Jesus Christ as Lord, that is the gospel in a nutshell. That's it in a nutshell. Jesus, the Lord saves. Christ, the anointed and Messiah, Lord exalted by God. Ultimately, everybody will say that he is Lord one day. He said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. See, listen, verse 6 refers when God brought light into creation. It refers back to Genesis chapter 1 through 5. Before God changed us, we are like the original earth. Before God shined his light into our lives, we were without form. We were in darkness, but when Christ shined his light into our life, the lights came on, the roaches went scrambling. Come on, somebody. The roaches went scrambling, and we begin to realize who we are. Then we begin to realize that I am in need of a Savior, that I'm not a good person, but Jesus can change it all. He came into my life and gave me a new life, and now today, the life that I have is because of Jesus Christ and him crucified. The life that I have, the joy that I have, is because of what he did for me on Calvary. It doesn't matter what happens around me. I am unstoppable because of what he did in my life. When the light of his glorious message that Jesus is Lord shines on your life, that person becomes a new creation and starts to bring forth the fruit of glory of God. Woo. I should have made this two part. Verse 7 says that we are jars of clay. Clay jars were the fast food containers of that day. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing God, or the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. See, they were cheap, ordinary containers, church. Clay jars lasted only a few years at most and were used to store water, olive oil, grain, and even family treasures. But you could even find leftovers stored in clay jars. No one paid any attention to the clay jar. They were everywhere. Can I tell you that I hope that people, I hope that you didn't come to see me, as Roger said. I hope that you came to see Jesus, because all I am is a jar of clay, and I can tell you that they're a dime a dozen. But if you'll see what's inside of the jar of clay, which is Jesus, you will never be the same again, because we got to recognize jars of clay, they're humble, ordinary jars of clay. Clay jars are frail, they're weak, they're easily broken. Just like us. The treasure inside of the jar is the knowledge of the glory of God. It is a treasure of great price. but it is stored in ordinary clays of jar of the day. Hallelujah. Why? One reason is to show God's power. That's the clear, that's the power comes from God and not us. We are never powerful in ourselves. See, the problem is some get confused here. Some think that when they get God's power, that somehow they are now powerful in and of themselves. But you are not. You know, there was a message given out in tongues, and for those of you that are Pentecostal, you know, a message was given out in tongues, and the interpretation was this. When somebody speaks in tongues and gives a message in tongues, then there's supposed to be an interpreter. And the interpreter spoke this, "For thou thinkest thou art a humdinger, but thou art not. Thou art just a dinger." Now, was it of the Lord? I don't know. But the message is truth. That some of us think that we're all that in a bag of chips and some government cheese. But you begin to realize when Jesus comes in that your cheese is moldy and your chips is stale. You begin to realize that you're not all that. That you recognize you're just a dinger. You ain't no humdinger, baby. You're just a dinger. And if there's any humming going on, it's because of what Jesus is doing on the inside of you. He's the humdinger. Don't be offended. They don't understand that they are just still a jar of clay. Verse number nine says, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you." In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you. In my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on you." Some think that my weakness plus God's power equals my power. Wrong. We are still weak. We do not grow in power, we grow in weakness, and God's power grows in us. Thank you, God. Someone asked a priest by the name of St. Francis how he was able to accomplish what he did. He replied, this may be why the Lord looked down from heaven and said, "Where can I find the weakest, littlest man on earth?" And then he saw me and said, "I found him." And he won't be proud of it. He'll see that I'm only using him because of his insignificance. Listen, here's what I tell people when they start getting kind of haughty and puffed up that God's using them. I try to remind them about the donkey and Balaam. That if God can use a donkey, he can probably use you too. Amen? Hallelujah. What's in your jar? What's in your wallet? What's in your jar? Now we see that he's unstoppable in integrity. He's unstoppable in determination. He's unstoppable in humility. He's unstoppable in life. I'm giving you a run for your money today. Verses 8 through 10 says, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body." Jesus went through the cross just to get to the resurrection. He went to the cross for the resurrection. Jesus died, went to the grave, but came out in resurrection power. Paul is a realist. He's not sugarcoating anything. He's not sugarcoating life. He is being honest to say, "I have been pressed hard." Yeah. You know, I've had people tell me, "You know, preacher, you're a little too honest. You're a little too real." Well, I go, "I don't know how else you expect me to be." Because the problem is, for years, preachers and pastors tried to say that they're kind of up here. And let me tell you, church, I am not up there. I am right here living life with you. I'm here in the middle of it. Sometimes I am pressed. Sometimes I want to shout. Sometimes I want to dance. And sometimes I want to fight. And sometimes I want to cuss. But why don't you? Because there ain't a cusser in me. Come on, somebody. Being a Christian can be hard. But look at the unstoppable quality of Paul's life. Here's what he said. He said, "I've been squeezed but not squashed. I've been bewildered but not befuddled. I've been despondent but not despairing. I've been hunted down but not forgotten. I've been knocked down but not knocked out. Why? So that the life of Christ may be revealed in me. I might be down, but I'm not out. I've been knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. I've been pressed, but bless God, I'm still going. Call me the ever-ready bunny, because I'm still serving Jesus. I'm still living for Jesus. I'm still worshiping Jesus, because I recognize that I don't deserve everything that he's gave me, and that's why I can live the life that I live. Woo! Paul is unstoppable because he has unstoppable determination, not losing heart. He has unstoppable integrity. There is no deception in his ministry. He has unstoppable humility. He is just an ordinary clay jar. He's unstoppable in life, and he's unstoppable faith. He's got unstoppable faith. Verses 11, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that this life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise up with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the heart of the glory of God. Christ died so that I might live. I want to say it again. Christ died so that I may live. The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Jesus gave up his life for our sake so that we might come alive. I used to think that I was living, but when I come to know Jesus and the scales were taken off my eyes, I really began to live life. He became poor so that I might be rich. George Mueller, who provided for thousands of orphans, was asked how he was able to pull it off with all the challenges. He hung his head and said this, there was a day when I died. There was a day when I died. Then he hung it lower and said, I died so that Jesus could live through me. Listen, church, what good is faith if it can't be tested? A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. Paul is unstoppable because he was unstoppable determination. Not losing heart, he had unstoppable integrity. There's no deception, unstoppable humility. He's in clay jar, unstoppable life, and unstoppable faith. And then number six is this, and I'm done. The unstoppable future. He has an unstoppable future. Verses 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. Look at somebody and say, what you're going through is temporary. What you're in now is just temporary. You're just in a temporary situation. But what is unseen is eternal. Often people quit because they lose hope that the future will be any better. Now listen to me. I'm going to hit something that's a little touchy. But there's so many of us who know people who have committed suicide, who've taken their own life. And it wasn't that they just couldn't live. They just couldn't go on living the way they were living. That's what it is. What happened is they lost hope. See, people can live 3 weeks without food. 3 weeks, Lord, I get angry if I miss lunch. Come on, somebody. We can live 3 days, they say, without water, 6 minutes without air, but not a second without hope. And what the devil tries to do is take your hope, that this is the way that your life will always be. Tries to take hope that you'll never get accomplished. You'll never come out on top. You'll never stand on your own. And the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. The devil tries to tell you you'll never be happy.
You'll never have love. You'll never have money. You'll never have your own home. You will never. You're a liar. You a liar, devil. Woo!
People who quit often lose perspective. As they see the problem in front of them, they don't see any problem or way around it. He said, yea, we are wasting away, but spiritually we are being renewed over and over, day by day. The old man given to sin is fading. See, I remember I used to have to fight every day. Come on, somebody. But at some point in time in your life, you will establish. I don't fight like I once fought. Sheta rosa tambara sakada. See, the devil, my God, somebody hear me. When I went to high school, I was a scrapper, man. I had to be. And I would fight almost every day. But there came a time when my reputation began to precede me. And not that I was all that in a bag of chips. They would just say, if you mess with Ronnie, he gonna fight. You ain't gonna be able to push him without him slapping you upside your head. You listen, remember the show The Untouchables? When the old boy said, if they put one of ours in the hospital, we put one of theirs in the grave. So that's kind of what I took on. You hit me, I'm gonna beat you down. You push me, I'm going to see how far I can put my fist through your face. I'm just crazy enough, and I'm believing that the devil's starting to understand my reputation. You better listen to me right now. I know that the devil's saying, if we mess with Ronnie, you better get ready for a fight, because I'm not going to lie down and lay down and let you run over me, because I know of who I am. I know who I ain't. I hope know who I'm not, but I do know who I am, and I am a child of the living God of Israel. He said he shall lead me and guide me into all truth. He leads me and guides me in triumph every single day. So I might get hit and I might get pressed down, but bless God, I might be persecuted, but I'm not out. I'm not down. I'm not giving up. I am unstoppable. Because I see my light affliction as a momentary. I see it as temporary. I know what God is doing in me and through me is far outweighs what I'm going through. Look at somebody and tell them, your problems are just speed bumps on the way to glory. Your problems are just speed bumps on your way to glory. All right, I'm done. Give my last one. Life takes on new meaning when we see things through God's eyes from the heavenlies. Whoa. Squeezed, but not squashed. Bewildered, but not befuddled. Despondent, but not despairing. Hunted down, but not forgotten. Knocked down, but not knocked out. How about you? Are you unstoppable? How about you? Are you unstoppable through the power of God, surpassing power of God? In His strength, your weakness is made perfect. Come on, Spirit Life team. Yeah. Now, here's what I want us to do. I know it's 9:49. And I know I've been getting in trouble here lately for not letting out on time. I said, well, y'all give me the service earlier, then I won't. Anyway.
Listen to me. Go, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. Where are you at today? Pastor, I need prayer. I have feelings of wanting to quit. You need prayer today. You need somebody. Come on, stand to your feet with me. You need somebody to pray with you. You need somebody to agree with you. The Bible said one can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. Pastor, I want my clay jar of my life to be filled with Jesus. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You don't know Jesus, let me give you the opportunity. If you don't know him, I give you my word, I will not embarrass you. But if you don't know him, just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, I want to know him as my Savior. I want him to come and live in my jar. Anybody in this room? Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to believe that everybody's a born-again believer. Well, you may, if you want prayer, if you got feelings of quitting, maybe you're just like, I just want to ask Jesus to give me that unstoppable faith. Whatever it is that you need, he's going to sing this song. And when he begins to sing it, I want you to step out of your seat. Join us down here and let the prayer team pray with you. God bless you. Come on, do it. Come on, if you need prayer, move now. Unstoppable God.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.